to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams is now live on InfoWars.com.
Welcome to Counterthink. This is Mike Adams, and you're watching this on InfoWars.com, perhaps, or maybe Counterthink.com. It airs both places. InfoWars is 6 p.m. on Sundays, Central Time, 6 p.m. Thank you for your support for the show. We've interviewed a lot of interesting guests. We've talked about the Big Bang Theory, the origins of the universe. We've talked about CDC fraud, vaccine fraud, you know, all kinds of topics. And today, we're going to be interviewing Lucian Wintrich, who is a young conservative journalist who writes for the Gateway Pundit. And the reason I wanted to have him on is because, you know, we've got this younger generation now waking up, you know, getting red-pilled, as they say. And a lot of people who are on college campuses now are looking at their fellow colleagues and professors, and they're saying, you people are totally insane. And they're learning to think for themselves, which is great because, you know, I went to college and I certainly didn't understand liberty or conservatism or any of these ideas until many years after I graduated from college. But in college, it was like assumed that everything was liberal and progressive and anti-war. It was just, that's just the way things were, at least as I remember it. But things are changing today because, of course, we've got the internet. When I was in college, we didn't have an internet. Tells you how old I am, doesn't it? I'm almost 50, by the way. When I was in college, there was no email. There were university servers where you could have chat talks with each other. And I remember one of my friends in college, and I went to engineering school, by the way, at first. I actually was going to be an electrical engineer, believe it or not, a double E degree, because I happen to be good at math. And a friend of mine who was also an engineer, he met his girlfriend through the university chat, and he married her. He actually met a girl. He was like the first guy I'd ever heard of who met a girl on some electronic media. This was before email, before Twitter, didn't even have an internet, nothing. It was just computer servers. And I was like, dude, you're lucky she turned out to be female. I mean, you could have been chatting with, you know, Harry Bob from the campus next door. You don't know. But she turned out to be his wife, married to this day. And that was like the first time I'd ever seen somebody get like actually hooked up and engaged through some electronic means. Anyway, that's beside the point. But today, young people like Lucian Wintrich, you know, they've got all access to email and websites and podcasts and videos like this. You know, it's freedom of information everywhere. So if they're curious about the way the world works, they can think for themselves. And that's what Lucian does, and many, many younger people who are emerging today and are actually learning how to challenge the status quo, which is what this show is all about. That's why it's named Counterthink. We counter the mainstream think. We counter the status quo. We counter the masses, the sheeple, the dumbed down, delusional, indoctrinated, obedient masses, right? And that's, universities today have become centers of indoctrination rather than centers of teaching people how to think for themselves. But somehow, Lucian Wintrich and others like him learned to resist the system. And he's not in college anymore. He works for the Gateway Pundit, and he was the White House correspondent, by the way. But he learned to resist the system and think for himself. So I want to ask him some questions and find out what makes him tick as part of this effort to sort of reach out and figure out, how can we wake up younger people to liberty and freedom and thinking for yourself? Because, you know, it's almost become a counterculture concept now to question the dumbed down establishment. And so we see a lot of courageous young men and women standing up and saying, you know what, I should have the right to speak. I should have the right to think for myself. I don't have to go along with what you're teaching, Mr. Professor, or, you know, left-wing college group, or even, you know, former President Obama. I don't have to believe what you're telling me to believe. I can think for myself. And that's a valuable view that we need for this country. So we'll be back here on Counterthink, and we'll talk to Lucian Wintrich via a video interview and find out what makes him tick and how we can reach out to more young people. So stay with us on Counterthink.
What you're told without knowing why is what they want. Counterthink with Mike Adams.
And as promised in this segment, we're joined by Lucian Wentrich of thegatewaypundit.com. He has done an extraordinary amount of work, you know, lighting up the liberals with some hard-hitting journalism and asking questions and engaging in, dare I say, free speech. Oh my God, is that even legal in this country anymore? I guess we're going to find out. He joins us by Skype now for a detailed talk where I'm going to ask him, you know, some background and personal questions as well. I think he's one of the most important rising voices right now in America for his generation when it comes to liberty and free speech. So, Lucian, thanks for joining me today.
Hey there. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Hey, it's great to have you on. You are you're making some waves out there.
Yeah, you know, the left really doesn't like seeing younger conservative voices out there. Every young person, if you're not completely an SJW leftist, you are ruthlessly attacked. Now, and go ahead.
Well, that's what I'm wondering is the vilification of you is just off the charts. I look at you and listen to you, and the things you're saying make sense. They're rational. They're evidence-based. You're talking about cause and effect. But they claim, you know, that you're some crazy Nazi or white supremacist. I've never seen you say anything that would put you in that category. What's the deal?
I mean, you know, it's really funny how this all sort of happened. I was previously a junior level executive at one of the world's largest ad firms. And, you know, during the 2016 elections, I came out as a conservative. I'm also gay, as a side note. They loved that I was gay. They hated that I was conservative. And as these interviews came out, first they said, just don't tell anybody where you work. And I said, yeah, that's fine. This is me outside of work. These are my beliefs. I believe in conservative ideology. I always have. And from there, a week before I was up for promotion, a large promotion to run an entire department, and I won't mention the brand name, I was fired. My boss called me into his office. I thought he was going to give me the promotion early. He fired me. And he said, you have 1 hour to clean out your desk. Maybe we can hire you after the elections.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. So I was completely taken aback. Nothing. I didn't, you know, I've read about this stuff continuously. I religiously have always followed the news. You never think it's going to happen to you until it actually does. And I walked out of work that day having no idea my key card was taken away, of course, having no idea what I'd do next. And I realized I had all this time on my hands. I threw the first ever conservative art show where every participant in the art show was pro-Trump and conservative that fall. Shortly after that, I met Jim Hoft and ended up as a writer for the Gateway Pundit, which is an infinitely better job than working in the sort of New York liberal cultural Marxist atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. The Gateway Pundit is just doing extraordinary work. I mean, and somehow Jim Hoft and you and others, you have such rapid fire, you know, short form coverage of breaking news. It's the fastest. I mean, you're much faster than Drudge, like, you know, nothing against Drudge, but sometimes it takes them 36 hours to update the website or sometimes 48. But Gateway Pundit is like, boom, within, you know, 45 minutes sometimes of breaking news, you've got a story there. It's really incredible. I check it every day. I mean, every more than once a day, actually.
Well, thank you. I mean, yeah, that's more of what we are known for, rapid fire responses to what's going on. And typically we'll hit what's going on within maybe a half an hour. A lot of the time we're minutes after something happens reporting on it and commenting on it. It's a fun format. You know, a lot of us naturally consume a lot of news a day and are continuously looking to see what's going on and are culturally curious. And yes. So it is the perfect outlet for that sort of, I guess, journalistic writing.
But let's back up a little bit into what makes you tick, because, you know, you are emerging as this very important young voice for liberty, or I don't know how you describe it, but conservative ideology. And yet, you know, a lot of us, including myself, when I was in college, even though I wasn't politically strongly active, I was more of a liberal. I mean, I remember the people I used to hang out with, they would make fun of college Republicans, you know, and I was like, what is all this about? Cause I, you know, I didn't know anything at the time, but I thought Bill Clinton was pretty cool when I was young like that. I didn't know anything, but how is it that you being, you know, a generation younger than a guy like me, I'm almost 50. How is it that you can be so awake and aware about what's going on at such a young age? That it's mysterious to me, and I want to know how you did it.
Well, I will say much like you, I guess, I had a very similar college experience. I went to Bard College, which is considered a sister school to the Ivy Leagues. I was surrounded. It's also considered, if you look at Princeton Review's ranking, it's one of the most liberal universities in America. I think it's the first ranking for God not found on campus, where religion or believing in God having really any religion except for Islam, you're chastised for. And, you know, I entered Bard sort of between liberal and libertarian. I believed in individual rights, but I sort of this stupid adolescent cloudiness about where liberalism can actually lead us. And after about a year and a half at Bard, I witnessed, I think, the most anti-intellectual and worst behavior by some of these not only professors, but students, of course, where a female friend of mine from Kentucky is a gorgeous girl. She made the egregious sin, I guess, of admitting that she was just agnostic. So not even really religious, but she believes there could be something out there. The attacks that followed that admission, I never saw anything like it. People were calling her a moron, calling her anti-intellectual, and I stepped in. At the time, I was sort of agnostic myself. I stepped in, and I said, "Okay, well, can you guys disprove God? Can you actually explain to me why you think she's stupid for not being blindly atheist?" And nobody could. And I began engaging in more and more, I think, intellectual discussions like that at the university to figure out what these people actually believe in. And when I discovered that it was just this blind leftist dogmatic way of thinking, where if you stray from the liberal agenda, you will be deplatformed, you'll be thrown out. Bard tried to expel me for running a conservative paper there. The first conservative paper in over a decade run out of that campus. I tried to start one up. I was involved in legal proceedings for that.
Wow. So you came to discover very quickly then that they were the intolerant bigots, that even though you might have initially agreed with some of the platforms or policies of some of the people there at the school, it sounds like you reacted against their bigotry to say, wait a minute, shouldn't we be able to argue our positions? Shouldn't we be able to stand up and have a conversation or a debate about something and do that based on reason rather than just unbridled hatred? Is that accurate?
Oh, I mean, 100%. You know, I've always believed I'm open to all ideas. If I hear a good argument for something, if I hear a truly good argument backed by research, it's not that hard to pull me over and get me to reexamine my own way of thinking. And when I see people who are so set in their ways and ideology that they're not even willing to hear the merits of conservatism or, you know, anything resembling Christianity, I am a Presbyterian. I go to church whenever possible. It's hard to find a good one in New York. I just moved back here. I'll say that much.
So, Lucian, let me hit pause there for a second. We're going to go to a break, but I want to continue this line of thought with you when we come back after this break. It's a fascinating discussion already, and I've got a lot more questions for you as well. This is Counterthink. You're watching Infowars.com. This show broadcasts every Sunday at 6 p.m. Central, and the episodes also run at counterthink.com. We'll be right back after this break with Lucian Wintrich. Stay with us.
Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams, live on InfoWars.com.
Welcome back to Counterthink. We're continuing our conversation with Lucian Wintrich, who writes for TheGatewayPundit.com. Jim Hoft is also there. I've had him on previously as a guest. And of course, the Gateway Pundit is part of this expanding network of independent media, such as InfoWars, Counterthink, my website, Natural News, and many others. We're all being censored. We're all being attacked. We're all being vilified. And they're trying to shut down all of us. And yet, you know what I find in people like Lucian Wintrich, which is why I invited him on this show, is that he's intelligent. You know, he can think about cause and effect. He can think about history, and he can apply history to modern day situations. He understands cycles of history, and he's so young to have achieved that level of awareness that something is shifting in our world now, where people who are plugged in and who are capable of independent thought are coming to the conclusion that the left is totally insane. It's like mass mental illness on the left. So getting back to Lucian, who joins us by Skype video, Lucian, is, do you think that's a fair assessment? I mean, have you seen actual examples of what you would also agree is mental illness in the attacks on you and others?
I mean, I absolutely, obviously, from an experiential standpoint, I was beyond vilified to the point that I was fired from a job that I was more than qualified for. I was almost run out of New York, to be honest, before I did my stint as Gateway Pundit's White House correspondent. So not only have I witnessed firsthand, but I'm also seeing what's happening to younger people. I saw a girl 12 years old today on YouTube talking about how she's been red-pilled. Because if you log on to the internet, especially if you're younger, if you don't have a lot of experience with just SJW waterfall that's going on right now, where you're attacked for the most innocuous things. If you're a kid, listen, you're a kid, you're growing up, you're Mr. Rogers, children's programming is still the same. They say you're special, right? You're great, your idea, you should be an individual. It's sort of conservative. And then all of a sudden they read the news and, oh, you're terrible if you're white. If you're a white woman, that's terrible. If you're a black woman, that's all right. But ideally, you're a black trans woman. Younger children are seeing this and saying, well, you know, this doesn't make any sense. I agree with what the other side is saying.
It's this hierarchy of social justice protected groups. It's just like you said. And in an earlier segment, you mentioned that you're gay. And you know, it used to be that if you were gay, that was enough to be totally embraced by the left just because, you know, hey, here's a gay person. He's one of us. But now, you know, you're gay and you appear to be a, quote, white person, although I think the designation is an oversimplification. But so now you're gay and you're white and you're conservative. So now you're evil.
I'm gay, white, conservative. My grandfather was a colonel in the Polish resistance, fought against the Nazis. And yet I'm being called a Nazi and a white nationalist. The entire thing is so wild to the point that a lot of people who have experienced this firsthand, experiences range. But, you know, half the people like me, I'll put my hand on my head and say, okay, we're living in a clown world with the left operating over here.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, clown world.
It's funny, I think, to a lot of us. But you know, with other people who haven't had the ability to snap back, and I mean, again, I landed a phenomenal job with Gateway Pundit. I'm so much happier working with the brilliant Jim Hoft than I without mentioning this major American chocolate brand. Representing a major American chocolate brand, which was my former job. This is a lot better. I'm impacting culture. But what I will say, other people aren't so lucky. We've seen Roseanne Barr, who, you know, obviously there's certain sensitivities to one of the words she used, but it was a stupid backhanded joke. And she loses a television show because of that. An entire staff is gone, and an entire group of actors and actresses are gone now from ABC because of a stupid joke she made.
Right,
and why do we care?
Jimmy Kimmel can go on and he can have women, you know, doing mocking oral sex on him on the street. He's making fun of women. Leftists, they make fun of Trump and they make fun of Trump's hair. They make fun of
people. Forget.
Sarah.
Do you remember the man show on Comedy Central?
Right.
People forget about this. Every episode was him putting women's hands on his crotch. Every episode was him getting them to motorboat him. It was nonstop. I mean, you'd think the left would keep pulling this out. Why is this guy considered one of our idols right now? But of course they don't. And that is the scary thing, that a lot of people do know. We all stick to our guns and our ideology, and we see what's going wrong with America right now that the left is causing. That's why it's important when the left says, oh, well, tell you what, we'll give you another job. We'll pay you better. We'll start promoting you. We'll stop attacking you if you just pretend that your beliefs don't exist, that you're not a conservative. Say you hate Trump. Say you loved Obama. The entire thing's a frustrating joke.
You have to fake it. The emperor has no clothes, but you have to say the emperor has beautiful flowing golden robes. It's reached the point of what I would call almost mass hallucinations. Recently, there was a photo that went viral that appeared to depict refugee children in cages or, you know, behind barriers that looked like chain link fences. And of course, the insane leftists all suffered a mass hallucination. And they said, this is Trump taking children away from their parents and putting them in cages. And it turns out, of course, that photo was actually taken under the Obama administration, I think, from 2014. And you couldn't see leftists deleting their tweets quickly enough, could you?
With some of them, others, George Takei, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He left his up. A lot of people did. The other, the white guy, he pretends he's black, Sean King.
right.
He left his up too. So they love spinning, quite honestly, what's fake news and then accusing us of reporting fake news when we confront it.
Right.
And, you know, I'll even say there was a wild documentary that's on Netflix right now that I just watched last night. So it's on the tip of my mind here. What was it called? I forget exactly what it was called, but it was essentially about the takedown of Gawker Media. If you remember Gawker, who had continuously published smarmy, slanderous articles.
Yes.
With almost... And they attacked Hulk Hogan. Well, they released this sex tape of Hulk Hogan. You remember this?
Yes, yes. And he sued.
This entire documentary, somehow, the producers here, they take this story of, okay, Gawker published this very private video that Hogan obviously didn't want released.
We got 30 seconds.
For no other purpose than to shame him. And they were met with a lawsuit. But it's not about that. And it's not about how they've been attacking people for at that point, I think, a decade. But it's a freedom of press. And then they end this documentary. Again, people should watch just watch the last 3 minutes. They ended saying, as journalists, it's our job to fight against Trump. Fight against how he's trying to stifle
the media. We got to go to break, Lucian. All right, we'll be back on Counterthink here with more thoughts from Lucian Wintrich of The Gateway Pundit. Stay with us, counterthink.com.
Warning, take the red pill before viewing. Counterthink with Mike Adams.
Lucian Wintrich is our guest, and he's red-pilling people all over the planet. He's like the red pill Jedi, the young Jedi in training. Just to red pill people everywhere. And he's doing a good job. And he continues to join us via video here. And Lucian, thanks for being on the show here on Counterthink. It's a pleasure to be able to speak with you. Let me ask you.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Mike. And congratulations on the new show. It's wonderful so far.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, we've had a lot of real positive feedback. And, you know, we get to go more in depth because it's not just breaking news, what's happening this moment. It's more in depth about individuals and issues and people like you. So let me ask you this. I think a lot of viewers, they're going to immediately, when they hear that, let's say you're gay, I don't think people care one way or the other, but they're going to say, oh, Milo Yiannopoulos is a gay conservative. And they're going to like immediately maybe start comparing you to Milo. You know, Milo's very intelligent. He's, very outspoken. He's got his own way about him. And I like his work, by the way. I think he's doing great stuff. Do you hear that from people, or do you?
I was previously friends with Milo for a while. I mean, he's actually crashed on the couch behind me, but I don't. You know, I think that we're obviously from different backgrounds. He is fully focused. Well, he rose to prominence during Gamergate,
right?
I've studied conservatism and essentially everything that I write about. Since college, I studied under Walter Russell Mead, who was Henry Kissinger's protege. And so I think the way we approach issues or attack various things that we see wrong in society is different. So I do, to be honest, I resent this broad notion that, oh, another gay conservative.
Exactly.
And actually, if I can tell you one little story here, I've never been one to throw my sexuality in other people's faces. I think that's what the left does. I think that's obnoxious. And the only reason I really came out more publicly as gay was back in college when I was running that conservative publication that I mentioned. Because we had a few articles that, again, were unfavorable to the left, and one of them was unfavorable to one female student activist on campus. The Bard College administration attempted to claim that I was a threat to women. He has this vitriolic notion about women because he allowed an article to be published on his platform. And I had to meet with lawyers on campus. And at first I said, listen, if I don't know how you can extrapolate that I'm aggressive towards women or that I'm a sexual threat towards women from this article. It makes no sense to me. And they said, well, you know, the women on campus feel victimized by you right now. And I said, OK, well, tell you, I don't like doing this, but I am gay. So can you process that for a second?
And that's their decision to feel victimized. I mean, they decided in their own minds that they want to be snowflakes or cry bullies or what have you. You know, you're not responsible for their way of absorbing or rejecting or feeling threatened. I mean, they feel threatened walking down campus and seeing the word Trump written in chalk on the sidewalk, absolutely. You know, like therapy
but,
training.
I mean, to claim they almost went as far to claim as to claim that I was a campus rape threat for an article that I allowed to be published in my magazine at the time.
Wow.
It was absolutely insane. And so, I mean, that is when I sort of more publicly said, listen, I'm gay. I'm conservative. Yeah, I'm not a rape threat. No women should be scared. It was so asinine and funny to me. But that is part of the problem that I think straight guys. So I sympathize with them more than modern gay people. I know that I've received more vitriol from the left because I'm gay, and they'll say, oh, well, you know, you're going against your own community. Nonsense, by the way. I'm supporting the individual liberties of every American. I'm not going against any one community.
Right. But sorry to interrupt, but you're making a great point, which is that being gay is not enough to appease the intolerance of the left. Yeah. This is why we should never judge people whether they're straight or gay or the color of their skin. We should judge everyone by the content of their character and their ideas. You know, regardless of your background, regardless of your orientation or what have you, it's about the content of your ideas.
Absolutely.
And I think that real conservatives, they welcome someone who is gay or female or black or even a trans person if that trans person is pro-liberty. I would love to see a trans person who's out there arguing for, you know, pro-free speech, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Fourth Amendment, and so on. They would have my support. I don't care. It doesn't bother me that they're trans. Right.
I mean, yeah, you know, Yeah, absolutely. And there are a couple, you know, Caitlyn Jenner has come under fire for conservative statements. There's another one, Blair White. She's come under fire for being very conservative people out there. I think the problem that a lot of conservatives, myself included, have with the current wave of largely liberal trans people is that they do want to hamper the rights of other Americans.
Right,
so
right.
It's not enough that okay, we'll acknowledge you're trans. They want special freedoms and protections that other normal Americans don't have. They want to be able to use, it's not just the women's restroom, but both restrooms. I mean, trans people in New York, whatever restroom they feel like using, if they're wearing a wig, they will scream and shout if they're not allowed to use it.
No, you're exactly right. And I agree with you on this point. I mean, we're okay with people being who they are in the privacy of their own life or their own family or their own home. But when you try to now go out in public, or especially when trans people say, oh, my 6-year-old son wants to be a woman, wants to be a girl, and they start pushing like trans surgery on children, which is basically genital mutilation.
It's terrifying. And, you know, I will say I do believe it's still a thing, thank goodness, still illegal to change the genitalia of a 6-year-old. But it's not illegal for whatever reason to start giving very young children hormone therapy,
right,
which will mess them up for life. So you have these hardcore leftists who are feeding their children pills that are damaging their children's bodies because they want gender nonconforming or trans child. That is abuse. And for
right.
any... And any become, news outlet to promote that is disgusting.
I've heard cases where some of these parents, they want to be so progressive that they have their child as a transgender prop where they can go into social engagements and say, see how proud we are. We have a transgender 6-year-old or a gay 3-year-old. You know, we saw that recently on the internet. And it's like, wait a second. Does a 3-year-old baby infant even have any idea what gay or straight is? Aren't you kind of abusing this child by pushing this ideology at such young ages? Can't you just let them grow up a little bit and decide for themselves?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think a lot of this, or the trans thing, I don't know. It's a weird issue in general to me, because people will say, oh, you know, people or trans advocates will say, this has existed since Roman times. No. We didn't have the surgeries where you're turning body parts inside out during Roman times. To the best of my knowledge,
they had society. No anesthetic during the Roman.
But you know, from a more like libertarian or conservative standpoint, again, I could care less what people want to do as individuals. Whatever, in my opinion, to be honest. How they want to operate on their own bodies. I may be uncomfortable with it, but I'm fine with them doing it as individuals. It's when those choices are being propped up by the media to, first of all, say,
right.
Okay, well, if you have this surgery...
Lucian, we got to go to break again. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm with you 100%. We're going to change the subject when we come back. I want to talk to you about more free speech issues, but I'm right with you on what you just said. We'll be right back after this break.
Countering the brain-dead propaganda of the status quo, this is Counterthink with Mike Adams, right here on InfoWars.
This is our last segment with Lucian Wintrich today. Thank you for joining us on Counterthink, the new show that's making waves and asking some questions. And Lucian, I apologize. I didn't mean to get too personal with all the questions, but you know, people want to know a little bit about you. And I want to know, actually, in a more general sense, what is it that we can do to reach more young people? Because it seems like younger people in general, and this was true for, you know, for all of us when we were that age, we're so interested in social conformity. We're so interested in having friends and being part of groups that accept us, that it's hard for an individual to step outside of that and begin asking questions and countering the status quo. And yet you've been able to do that. Like, how could we help more people take that same journey that you took?
You know, I do think a lot of younger people are just getting fed up now with what they're seeing and naturally coming to it. And there is, you know, thank goodness for the internet. There are plenty of other people who, especially are younger and coming around to our way of thinking. And there's nothing objectionable. I want to repeat this, nothing objectionable with our way of thinking. We believe in the individual. We believe in liberty. We fight against tyranny, I think. You have, we do over at Gateway Pundit, Alex Jones does. It's fighting against tyranny that we see emerging. And, you know, young people are naturally libertarian, naturally conservative, naturally believe in the individual. It's easy for them to jump over as long as they're not, as you said, stifled by social pressure.
But it seems like there's such an inundation. There's the late night fake comedy. You know, there's the left-wing media, which is so prominent. There's Hollywood movies. There's peer pressure, social pressure. It's become the in thing to hate Trump, even without a reason. You know, you see all these videos where, like, campus reform goes on campus and starts asking people questions like, oh, do you think Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize? And then they ask him, well, what did Barack Obama do to win the Nobel Peace Prize? And these students can't answer it at all. There's no rationality behind their belief system. So how do you overcome that when it's not rational?
It's, again, you know, I think there's a generational thing going on where some of the absolute worst liberals are the boomer contingent, to be honest. And they are trying to brainwash their kids, even some of those kids who were grown up, who grew up with that brainwashing, they're turning. How do you change it? I don't know. You know, I can't think of a single person, liberal or conservative, my age, who watches any sort of late night television. It's all terrible. It's all Trump and this presidency.
Yeah, you cut out there just a little bit. You were saying that the late night comedy is so terrible that it's unbearable to watch.
Well, I don't think no young person, again, no young person, liberal or conservative, is tuning in to the Kimmel show.
I see.
The people who are jumping or modern SNL, any of these. What's another one? I don't know. Any of these.
I don't know. I don't watch
late night shows.
I have no idea.
all these late night shows, it's hack joke after hack joke, attacking the president, attacking everybody in his administration. It gets tiring. Jay Leno, even a couple months ago, he released a statement, and he's by no means pro-Trump, but he said, listen, this is bad late night TV. Ever since he left the air, it's all gotten just terrible. He wasn't funny either. But what we have now is simultaneously not funny and just a drag. Who wants to turn on the TV late at night to hear about how America is now Nazi Germany, how the president might as well be shooting journalists, shooting Mexicans? It's a joke. The entire thing is a joke.
I call it hate porn. It's the hate porn that the left needs in order to confirm their twisted sense of self-identity, which is based in delusional thinking. But the other thing that I see, and I want your comment on this, is that I see a lot of young people today who are tired of big government. They're tired of being told what to do and how to think and how to live their lives. If anything, I think we're seeing a collapse in the false faith of centralization, where I think young people want to have, even if they don't state it in these terms, they actually want to have more local rule and local autonomy over their own lives. Does that seem fair?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, again, when young people log on to the internet and are told what they can and cannot say, ideas they can and cannot have, even writers they should or should not read about, they don't want to be put in those boxes. American children, out of almost any other country on earth, right? They grew up with the notion of freedom, and even the worst history teacher going through American history and talking about how most far left history teacher talking about how America is a racist country, they'll still say America was founded on ideals of freedom. And when young people are seeing those freedoms taken from them every single day in different and new ways by people on the left, they're going to react and they're going to switch to our side.
Right, right. It seems like liberty is the new counterculture.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Which is funny. You know, do you remember or maybe your parents back when hippies were saying no war, give us our freedoms back. And those were the protests. And now it's we want less freedoms, more government.
Right.
It's wild. The turnaround is absolutely wild. And, you know, it resonates. It definitely resonates with younger people. I think when Trump runs again, you're going to see an influx of young people going to the polls.
I absolutely agree. And let me ask you a question about what you plan to do in 2020 and beyond. I mean, what's in your future? Obviously, you're writing for the Gateway Pundit. You're trying to do some public speaking when they don't ban your events or try
or
to attack
steal my
you.
Speeches.
Right, or steal your speeches. Didn't she get prosecuted?
Yeah, you know, so the woman who ran up to the podium, snatched my speech, and then tried to beeline it out of the auditorium. Yeah, she was banned from campus. She had to pay a fine.
Wow.
I would have preferred jail time, to be honest, because we don't need those people on the streets who are shutting down the rights of other American citizens.
But I love the symbolism, how she doesn't like what you're saying, so she snatches your notes as if this is a metaphor for your ideas.
The speech itself with handwritten. this was a six-page speech she stole with handwritten notes on top of the speech that I wrote out.
Well,
it was my only copy.
Yeah, but doesn't she know that you don't need notes to speak? You have a mind. You can speak without notes. I mean, because you're intelligent and you're informed. I guess that thought never occurred to the leftists because everything they do is on a teleprompter.
I mean, it's true. Most of, you know, if you actually watch the footage from that one speech at University of Connecticut, a lot of it was me improvising because the audience would not shut up for 45 minutes. 45 minutes. I stood at the podium. Security refused to do anything. People were screaming at the top of their lungs to drown me out.
Wow.
It was a wild experience.
But that taught you something about really the separation, the cultural divide in America today. But again, we've only got about 2 minutes left. What does that mean for your future? Where are you going next with all this?
You know, currently I am developing and writing a book. So that hopefully that'll be released in the next half year. It's a painstaking process to get everything I want to say right now on paper. So, you know, that's going to be coming out. Gateway Pundit has plenty of new projects currently going down the pipeline that everybody should look out for. You know, we all need to keep fighting this battle in whatever way we know how.
Well, I look forward to the burning of your books on college campuses all across America. That would be good. A good marketing campaign. Burn Lucian Wintrich's books, right? You should hope they would try to burn your books.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, we'll see what I'm definitely expecting a lot of pushback once it's released. They really don't like engaging, which drew me to being far right, as the left calls me now, in the first place. The left does not like engaging with other ideas that that deviate from their dogmatic nonsense.
That's it. You've nailed it. You've really nailed it. And I got to, you know, we got to wrap this up, but I really want to thank you for coming on, Lucian, and I want to wish you well. You are a brave, you're a courageous, intelligent voice. Keep doing what you're doing. We support your work. We support Jim Hoff's work, and please come back on the show with us sometime, especially when your book starts burning.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you. And thanks for watching today, everybody. This is counterthink.com. The show is on Infowars.com each Sunday as well. My name is Mike Adams. Thanks for joining me.